Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But please hold your calls. For the time being, we have with us Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist and a constant source of great information. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Great to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Well, what are we going to talk about this afternoon?
Well, I don't think we can move away too much from this hurricane because there are events unfolding just hourly, actually. And of course, some of it's kind of gripping. It's interesting to see the news media actually turn a kind of cannon against government and make it more accountable. It's the first time we've seen it in a long time. And at the same time, people seem to be getting involved. The internet seems to be playing a very strong role, and now you see news media running blogs and commentaries, making it open. They run a story, and then the public has a chance to comment. You see a long series of comments from people all around the country, and some of them obviously are observers, that is, firsthand of this hurricane that has gone on, and then of course the subsequent rescue efforts or lack of rescue efforts and so on. So what we have is a continuous feedback system to tell us, no, it's not the way they said it on television, or it is the way they said it on television. And of course, that makes it quite interesting. And of course, earlier in the week, the greatest example of this is something about the police shooting some people there. And then supposedly the first thing was they were looters, and the next thing it was that they shot them dead. There were different versions of this story. Eventually it came out in one version that they might have been army workers. And then we never did learn what it was. It seemed to be so confusing. There were so many renditions of this, and of course, one of the news agencies actually went through this and showed, oh, Canadian Broadcasting had one version, five people shot, in Las Vegas Sun said, quoting the Associated Press, that five people were killed, and so you can see the confusion here as we read all this, and we're really wondering about all the facts as we hear them, and whether the news media is doing sensationalism or really reporting. Now, I do see some wonderful reporting on behalf of MSNBC, CNN, and maybe some others. I haven't had a chance to watch them all, but it certainly has been a good lesson in the news media and how they follow things and how the public, one of the libertarian groups now actually has live cameras stationed throughout Louisiana just to keep a watch on all the watchers. So they're filming everything the Army and military and FEMA and that's doing, where they can stick a camera. It's going on to a live feed, and you actually can go online and see this. Check it out for yourself. They're keeping taping some of this, so they'll be able to see whether it's true, what people said, or not. And, of course, one of the interesting things that came out, I think Matt Drudge was the one to break this originally, but what happened to the buses that were supposed to, of course, escort everybody out of there in some evacuation plan? And they practiced, of all things, MSNBC showing this quite accurately. They practiced an evacuation a year ago with the buses, didn't use them this time, didn't get the people out of the city of New Orleans before the hurricane came.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment. With our special friend Bill Sardi, who supports Radio Liberty, and try to, of course, begin to piece together some of this very, very confusing story. And I don't think it's confusing accidentally. I think it's confusing on purpose. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi, and we're talking really about what happened, the tragedy in New Orleans, and all the almost like it was planned confusion as far as the reporting, the contradictory reports that come out, all the different reports ascribing blame to this one or that one or the other one. And, you know, it's so difficult to figure out what happened because of all the intentional reporting. Some of it, of course, I'm sure, is just mistakes that are being made, but some of it, as we've seen with so many of the other disasters over this last decade or more, planned confusion, planned disinformation to keep the truth from coming out. So, Bill, as you've analyzed this, and certainly MSNBC has done a great job of getting the information, what is really coming forward? Why weren't the National Guard there immediately? I mean, certainly as soon as they declared a disaster, they were going to begin to evacuate the city. You would have think that the National Guard would have been there. The president would have been asked to send in federal troops. You would have think that they would have tried to evacuate the last 100,000 people who didn't get out of the city. Many of them didn't have cars, didn't know where to go. They were going to stay at their homes. They had no idea of the enormity of what was going on. Maybe they weren't even listening to the radio. You know, maybe they didn't know there was an emergency. They were just living in their little homes, poor people. What's your take on what really happened?
Well, there certainly are a lot of people who either don't have televisions or social recluses or just older or little kids. I mean, they actually found five or six children here, a five or six-year-old leading some other kids younger than him. But part of the story they didn't tell you, those children were picked up by a helicopter, taken away from their parents, put down somewhere, left to wander, and they never came back to get the parents, so they were separated away, and then the children were left wandering on their own. That's the part of the story they didn't tell you. And of course, all of this, why are we concerned? There are goof-ups, there are things, but, you know, it's kind of like Americans feel, this is our country, and we're on display here, and boy, do we look bad. And we do. And there's no question about it. Some people have been pretty straightforward about this. Others have not. And, of course, you know, we don't like, Americans don't like our president to look bad. And, of course, we try and protect him at any risk of looking embarrassed. And yet there were things that they're pointing out he just couldn't get out of. And here's things that were in the news. Bush saying there's a lot of food on its way, a lot of water
hold
on its
that
way.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Bill was talking about what's going on, and certainly most people don't want to be critical of the president, but of course, one of the things he'd said is, well, there's a lot of water coming, there's a lot of food, we're right on top of this, and then what happened, Bill?
Well, here's another quote, thousands have been rescued, thousands more to be rescued, and there's a lot of people focusing their efforts on it. As we saw it, that didn't really happen. He may have been told it's happened. He said here, as we speak, people are moving into New Orleans area to maintain law and order. That didn't happen. So,
how long was it after this whole crisis came down before the National Guard moved in?
Well, yesterday the MSNBC did show the 3,500 troops, with the National Guard, and of course they were ready to come in within just a few hours. Nobody gave them the command, and so they don't want to play politics. They just said they came when they were able to come, but for some unexplained reason they were intentionally held off. Understand, we had things prepared. Even FEMA before said, no, we have things under control, we have food and staging areas and so on. What happened to all that?
Well, of course, the biggest thing was there was a plan, wasn't there, Bill? They anticipated this, and they were going to use the 300 or 400 school buses. They were going to use the municipal buses.
They had actually used them a year prior in a drill that they had done for this very same thing. Remember the drills they had 1 year prior, 1 or 2 years prior to 9/11? Almost makes me eerily think these things are planned, but at any rate, why they were to use what's called NORTA, it's the rapid transit there, is the last three letters of that, New Orleans Rapid Transit, 364 buses, could have taken 22,000 people out of harm's way. And, of course, all this was practiced. The mayor has no explanation for this. at the moment. So we kind of don't understand where these people left there intentionally. Was there a political fight underway? This is a Democratic state. Were they trying to intentionally make Bush look bad? And then was Bush withholding help? We're just asking questions here now. In order to make sure that no Democrat became a hero saving everyone, it seems like there's some sort of game going on here. I'm not exactly sure, but there's certainly some sort of issue between the governor's office and Bush. Now, Bush's office did call and wonder why there was a delay in the first emergency declaration, and of course heard all about the evacuation. Was it mandatory? In effect, it was optional. They said it was mandatory, but it was optional because they left people there. Now, I'm sure for a lot of people, if you'd have pulled a school bus out in front of their house, they probably would have left. A lot of people simply said, well, of course, they didn't have the money for gasoline if you looked at the price. There were some practical reasons why people couldn't leave. And then, of course, the favorite place for the mayor to take everyone, he had his own place, the convention center, and told people to take refuge there. And, of course, you saw the group left without security, left without food. By the way, they had 3 days to plan. Don't you think somebody would have brought food and water into the dome where the most people were? What were they planning? What were they thinking? These people were left to starve. What happened?
But even after the 26th, why they know the storm is coming, it hits, I believe, the 28th, but why didn't they have the National Guard on hand? Why didn't they have the supplies? Why didn't they bring the buses in? Because they had the municipal buses, 350 of them, 300 or 400 school buses. They could have brought those in and got the people out before the storm hit. They had an evacuation. Why didn't they do what they'd already planned to do ahead of time? And then of course, we have the levees break, not in one place, but in two places. I mean, is that just coincidence? How could you bungle this thing so badly,
not
unintentionally?
Just in two places. It's in two places right across from each other so that each end of New Orleans was flooded. And, of course, as the flooding came, people didn't have a way to interpret this. They knew what flooding was in storms. They had no way of interpreting it was going to go over the roof of their house. And so over the hours, 12 hours after the storm passes, then the flooding begins, and then, of course, hours later, it's over the roofs of the houses, and it's a real disaster. There is no way, apparently, at that point to let people know that the city government had actually moved to Metairie, a nearby city, because they could see the water had broken. But we also have kind of inappropriate reactions to this that people are talking about, and George Bush does look a little awkward here. I mean, he said that nobody anticipated the breach of the levees, and yet we know that FEMA and other, this was in Scientific American magazine in 2001. Here's the Times-Picayune newspaper, that's the New Orleans newspaper, big article in June 23 of 2002, washing away. It's only a matter of time before South Louisiana takes a direct hit from a major hurricane. Billions have been spent to protect us, but we grow more vulnerable every day, said the article. Everyone knew this. FEMA knew it. They had done a study. Everyone knew that the levees could break in this type of a storm. It's only a matter of time before South Louisiana takes a direct hit from a major hurricane, said the Times-Picayune 2.5 years ago. So, you know, all this was said. Everyone knew it. The Bush administration had been taking away some of the wetlands, turning them over to developers, and that's kind of the soaking area when water comes in. You can handle a couple of more feet on the levees, and that was taken away. There's some criticism there, and you've seen and heard all the criticism about the money taken away from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to maintain the levees. Now, overall, the city of New Orleans would have needed $14 billion to fix this city the way it should be fixed. I don't think there is a way to do it, actually. So everyone understands New Orleans is sitting in a bowl between the ocean, which is at higher point, Lake Pontchartrain, which is higher, the Mississippi River, which is higher, and the levees and everything else, which are higher. So everything dumps in and 22 pumps every day pump the water out, or it would flood anyway. So this is kind of what's going on. It was a absolute target. FEMA had already identified that New York, Miami, and New Orleans were the three greatest target areas for a hurricane. But that leads us to a question, and that's what we got into, is how in the world did FEMA target this, and then it came, and it just seemed to know to make its way there? And the reason why they're asking that is this storm came across southern Florida. The eye of it went right across Miami. It wasn't big enough to cause that much damage at that point. It was heading towards Mexico and then did an elbow right turn and headed straight for and built up tremendous power.
And of course, it's strange when a hurricane does a right angle turn almost, you know, because that isn't the way hurricanes usually go. They usually go one direction, don't they? Or do they make these right turns?
Well, they may. Things swirl in the Gulf, and this thing had taken up the entire Gulf on the weather map. So everyone understands this. It had really done a great big turn here, but it's its size. It's tremendous size. Now, before we get into the point I'm going to try to make, which is, did somebody aim this storm? Do we have the power to, technology to do weather manipulation? Well, apparently we do. Apparently it's out in the open. This isn't something that's obscure. But in the meantime, I think before we even get to that topic, I think the audience would like to hear things like, here's the news saying Navy has hired Houston-based Halliburton Company, Dick Cheney's company, to restore electric power, roofs, and remove debris at the naval facilities in Mississippi. Are we surprised at the payoffs here already done? So, this is the kind of thing that we're getting. It's rather humorous to see some of the agendas that everyone has. Planned Parenthood, they're involved, or they say they aren't. They're not providing food or medicine. They want to dispense emergency contraception kits to South Louisiana. Can you believe this? How off the subject Planned Parenthood is. This is the kind of problem we're getting into. The Katrina hurricane victims are all to get $2,000 debit cards. I hope they don't go buy a lottery ticket with it, but it says they're going to use it on food and basics for life. And I did say they're going to have to get some money dispensed to these people.
Do we have any idea how many people now there are? I mean, I've heard varied figures from 500,000 to 1,400,000. Do we have any idea how many people have actually been dispensed?
Well, there's your problem. You have no registry. You have people spread all over many states now, and we have no way of verifying who they are. And that they were in this event. So you've got a lot of people might stand in line for the $2,000. I don't know how you can prove anybody was from anywhere. So you can expect all kinds of problems here with this, and we can't blame government entirely here. The shocking part of a lot of this that we saw, of course, the breakdown of any security left on the streets there, which is unheard of when it was all possible to set up some sort of security. But as we went in and we saw the looting, and here was MSNBC going in with their cameras right into the Walmart store, and as they headed down one aisle, here were the police, and they were doing the looting. Two officers, New Orleans Police Department, black females, had their baskets and they were filling it, and they were participating in the looting. So this is the kind of anarchy that you have going on. There's no respect for the law. It's chaos down there, and you have a lot of disappointment. You have a whole fleet, literally a parade of vehicles, going from Lafayette, Louisiana, to New Orleans to rescue people with hundreds of boats. And it was all organized, and they got to New Orleans, and they were turned away, not allowed do the rescue. The government's going to get all the credit.
But of course, the government really didn't get in there right away. I mean, they knew ahead of time. They had almost at least 48 hours warning. They didn't bring in the National Guard, and they didn't get FEMA in there for several days after the whole thing happened. So you wonder if we can really depend on them, if there's really a problem. We're going to be back in just a moment with Bill Sardi and explore what happened. One of the great tragedies of modern times. Are we really going to look to the government to protect us? Are we going to begin preparing and look to ourselves to protect ourselves and our families?
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been the secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
In the last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi, and we're talking about the tragedy of New Orleans. And this really is a pivotal event. We lost probably about 25% of our oil production off the Gulf there, and certainly the major loading pipelines where the tankers would come in, bringing oil from other countries, and then it was came in by pipe, then onto the mainland, and was picked up there in storage bins. Well, that's at least temporarily wiped out. Certainly the port of New Orleans, for which so much of the food and other products that come down the Mississippi and go up the Mississippi, at least is temporarily closed. Probably it'll be up and working before too long, but this is going to have a profound impact on the economy of this nation, and of course certainly on the lives of those people, whether it was 500,000 as the mayor suggested, or 1,400,000 as the Wall Street Journal suggests. I don't know how many people were evacuated or in the process of being evacuated from this tragic city, but this is an event that really didn't have to happen, because they had plenty of warning, and all they had to do was get those buses, the municipal buses, the school buses, and somebody forgot to get the buses to get the people out of the city. Somebody forgot to call in the National Guard, and oh shucks, the FEMA just didn't get there for a few days. And then when people wanted to come in with their airboats from Florida, why they were told, oh, we don't want you here because we can't guarantee your safety, you can't come in and try to rescue people. So you know, the whole situation seems like there was nobody really in charge, because a lot of people wanted to help, a lot of people wanted to send in supplies, and it was almost as if at every turn they were being blocked from what would be it needed to be done to help people. So pick up the story, Bill.
Well, certainly there's a lot of frustration and a lot of anger, I think, on behalf of the American public, and some of the news reporters expressing it quite well about this event. And of course, Congressional Budget Office now saying $53 billion of aid is being readied, 400,000 jobs are gone. But then, of course, they properly dismiss a lot of this has an impact on our total economy, and I would too. I wouldn't want to set off any kind of super alarm and cause the economy to go further in a spin just for people to lose confidence in it, but it certainly has been a big blow. And of course, billions of dollars, I mean, understand, many states don't have a budget this big, $53 billion. So it is a terrible blow to the United States, just let alone certainly the travel industry, but also there was the seafood industry there along with the oil industry. So there's a great many of industries relying on the port of entry. And now, of course, you have the people, the farmers from the Midwest. They ship their grain down the Mississippi River. It's cheap. Just put it on a boat. It doesn't cost you a lot of gasoline money to ship it down to New Orleans and get it out of the country. Now how are we going to get rid of it? It's going to cost a lot more money to get the main grain out of that area. So we've really got a real problem sitting there. And, of course, we need a strong leader here to handle this. I just don't see it emerging at the moment. We'll see whether we have a great comeback here or not. I don't know.
Well, of course, it was up to the governor to declare an emergency and get the National Guard in before the storm struck. And what happened to the governor? And when the governor's asked, why didn't you declare an emergency and bring in the National Guard and ask for federal help, she won't even discuss it, will she?
Well, she's said that there is no division between her and President Bush, and said that they're in discussions. But there have been some issues that have come up, and apparently some foot-dragging at the governor's office. And I understand this is a giant political machine in Louisiana, and it's largely Democratic, and they had a lot of money from the casino. So here now you see a giant mortal blow to the Democratic machinery there, because they don't have the money, and then it's not coming to the whole party as well. So it's the way a politician could look at this is, my competition has been rubbed out, received a big blow, and of course issues of a lot of people off the welfare rolls. I mean, this sounds really, terrible to say, but I mean, maybe, politicians kind of look at things this way, and if you think this sounds, evil and terrible and everything else even to think of, well, the next thing we're going to bring up here sounds even more evil and terrible.
All right, fine. Well, you're going to have to hold that as I have to go to a quick break here. And our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist. And usually we talk about health and health issues, but, well, I think everybody's certainly is focused on the terrible, terrible tragedy that has befallen New Orleans, and, of course, the people there, and the people who've died, and of course, the people who are displaced. And, this is one of the great, this probably is the greatest catastrophe to fall this country, befall this country since the Great Fire in San Francisco in 1906. It certainly, in many respects, dwarfs many of the earthquakes here in California.
Oh.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available,
well, this is Arthur Standback here. Our guest is Bill Sardi. Bill, go ahead and pick up the story from there.
Well, certainly this next part of the program is, I thought it was a stretch when we originally started looking into this. I was looking at an ABC News report today, looking back in history, just recent history, and it was June 4th last year, 2004, when the news media reported, with the exception of only a southwest portion of the United States, most of the nation will see rain today. In what seems to be an unusual weather pattern, these storms seem to have been covering most of the continental United States. Perhaps a normal and natural cause, or is there something else going on here?
Now, was this the AP question that?
This is ABC News,
ABC, okay.
1 year ago, asking, where have we ever had rain almost everywhere in the United States? And of course, what happened is, as we look at the commentaries going on by meteorologists, here's one of the meteorologists saying, what's going on here? Is there something mysterious working? Is this global warming? And he says there's some speculation it could be the result of a shifting or weakening in a magnetic field. But they are asking questions. What was that all about? Odd weather patterns. You see of course, the North Pole cap receding like we've never seen ever. And of course, now I'm going to take you back to the 1970s. And this is Zbigniew Brzezinski. He's, of course, head of our foreign policy at the time in the Carter administration and otherwise. And he's saying that technology will be made available, this is his quote, to the leaders of the major nations, techniques for conducting secret warfare, of which only a bare minimum of the security forces need to be appraised. That is, not everyone informed about this. Techniques of weather modification could be employed to produce prolonged periods of drought or storm.
And of course, that actually comes from his book, Between Two Ages. Anybody would like to see the page from that book where Brzezinski, Zygmunt Brzezinski, one of the most powerful men working behind the scenes in the world today, made that remark, I think it was, 1971, somewhere in there, in his book, Between Two Ages. We have the book, we have the pages. We'd be glad to provide them for you. So they had the ability to modify the weather in 1971.
Well, they were saying this. Apparently, they've hit it, because we're going to take you fast forward to our own Congress this year. As of September 2nd, 2005, look at the timing, Senate Bill 517, Weather Modification Research and Technology Act of 2005. Ladies and gentlemen, weather modification is being introduced into the 109th Congress, but the question is, have we had that technology and kept it a secret for the last 30, 40 years? It was William Cohen in 1997 who said, he was our Secretary of Defense, that others are engaging in ecological-type terrorism where they can alter the climate. Others? Was it us? And he was saying others are doing it. Maybe it's the Russians. But he said earthquakes and volcanoes could be caused by electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there, said Cohen, that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror on other nations. Have we had this technology all along? Well, apparently we have. And, of course, weather modification, this is Philip Hoge, a researcher, writing on the Internet and saying this all began with the Soviets. Later on, the Soviets took it to Cuba, where they now have a staff of 2,500 personnel there, working on weather modification. And you think the United States isn't involved? According to Hoge, the long-lasting drought in the California in the 1980s was caused by this. The floods over the Midwest, remember the Ohio floods that went up over the banks in 1993? But they believe these were involved. And if you think that's just a stretch, just a guess, ladies and gentlemen, Hoge reveals to us that we have 300-foot towers all across the United States transmitting radio waves to alter the weather. They're located in Texas, Nevada, Maine, North Carolina, Maryland, Georgia, Oregon, Washington, California. The list goes on. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a secret program that's coming out of the closet. The United States has been involved in a weather control project, or at least maybe even a weather control war with the Russians for over 30 years. We see patents filed in 1970. How would they do this? What are those contrails in the sky, those patterns of clouds that they keep seeding from Air Force airplanes that we see in the sky all the time? That's part of this. And of course, we see now, we have some leaders around. Here's Dr. Ross Hoffman, once has a vision to design and implement a central command post to control the world's weather through the use of contrails and a fleet of solar reflectors orbiting the Earth. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't that what we have already? I believe one of the Eastern European countries signed a treaty with us, and thereafter all of a sudden the contrails showed up there in the airplanes. There's a company in Florida called Dynamat. You can go to dynamat.com, and they actually have little crystals that they have been dropping from airplanes to bring on. They have dino drought and dino storm. They can bring on storms or bring on droughts.
Now, aren't they actually up on the Internet? Can't you pull them down on Google?
They're on the Internet. You can see this company. This is actually a private enterprise. There's a Russian company also involved in this, where they even advertise weather made to order. Even Putin, the head of the Russian government, a couple of years ago when they were going to have a big event there and world leaders were to show up, and of course they had predicted rain, he said, no problem, we'll send the planes into the sky and push the storm in another direction. They had this technology. They've had it for a long time. They've kept it from the eyes of the public. We wonder if it isn't having something to do, even with, of course, the earthquakes. We know about the HAARP system, H-A-A-R-P, and maybe the tsunami that we saw earlier in the year. It's to be used as a weapon, and of course, the Air Force said that by 2025 we'll have it in use as a weapon. But have they been using it all along while they've been claiming that it's somewhere out there in the future? William Cohen, our defense secretary, said it. Somebody had it. Of course, Brzezinski predicted that it was coming, or somebody had it. In the 1970s, we see patents for contrail devices in the U.S. Patent Office. And, of course, so we see all of this kind of Air Force 1996 wants to capitalize on emerging technologies of weather modification. They want to bring it into their weaponry system. So you see all of this is happened, and if you think this isn't astounding, in 1972, then remember, let's go back to the 70s in your mind now. Here is the UN resolution of 1972. They had a convention on the prohibition of military or any other hostile use of environmental modification techniques, weather manipulation.
Now, that was the United Nations treaty at that time in
1970. It was a special session to discuss this, the United Nations General Assembly, on 10th of December 1976. They adopted a resolution, 31-72. This was all done in the 1970s. The convention was open for signature at Geneva on 18th of May 1977. I don't know how many finally signed it, but all the resolutions are here. That essentially hurricane technology would not be used as a weapon. They knew the technology existed then. Why would the United Nations prohibit such a thing? And of course, we now understand what the contrails are out. Not the chemtrails. Those are chemicals in the air, but the contrails. Contrails are a way of detecting where this weather war is going on. If the Russians have the technology, they lay out this, and you can see what the idea is, to use satellites to aim solar energy at a certain part of the atmosphere, heat it up by 2 degrees, and then you start the whole weather pattern of either drying out or moving the air or whatever you're doing, and so it causing evaporation and so on. So apparently our satellites have a lot to do with this. The Russians, in some stories, apparently have shot down a number of our satellites, but this war is going on, and we are never told a thing about it. Apparently, it would cause a great deal of panic in the public, so maybe that's why they don't tell us. But now it's, quote, all coming out of the closet. And, of course, now we see credible people writing about this. We see authoritative evidence that exists. And, of course, the United Nations was involved in banning this in 1972. We have world political leaders bring it out. And, of course, isn't this wonderful for Christian people now who have been involved in the events of the last few days? And of course, many people seeing the hand of God here, and certainly people see the weather as kind of under God's control. Certainly weather and earthquakes is God's department. That's too big for man. Wait a minute. Is it too big for man to manipulate? What we're talking about here is man taking up what we thought was God's control. And you see, that would give these people a perfect alibi. Let's blame it on God. And of course, the Christians, seeing this as a great part of the tribulation predicted by Jesus in Matthew 24, he said there would be a great tribulation. And I warn all the Christians, because if you go on and read Matthew 24, Jesus goes on to say, there'll be false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect. So I make you all aware, is this the great signs and powers that Jesus talked about? Is this the great wickedness? We can't prove it. Nobody's going to raise their hand and say, I did it, folks. So we have to put parts of the puzzle together. But we do know the United States and Russia certainly have weather control technology. They've used it. And, of course, when did they use it for sure? I can tell you when it was. The year 2000, Israel had a tremendous drought, the longest they have had in 100 years. The United States was trying to force Israel to sign a treaty with Syria to the north. And the day that the Israelis announced that they were going to sign that treaty, the next day there was a downpour throughout all of Israel, mostly in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. About 12 inches of rain dropped, all in one day.
That was after, of course, Israel had done what they were told to do.
That's right. They were being coerced into this by this drought, and essentially they have very little water supply inland, as you can understand, most of it coming through the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee and then from north on up. So, and it comes through Syria, so there are treaties there to let the water come through, because you could really just cause Israel to dehydrate if you cut off the water supply there. Well, apparently, we were making sure the storms didn't come. And I'm sure this was used, because the very day that it was signed, the very next day, there was a downpour like they had never had in Israel's history. And I believe we've been controlling the weather. I believe they used it there. I believe they use it to get other countries to sign treaties. I believe this is a giant weapon. And if we think about the droughts that we have in Africa, well, it's you, Dr. Stan, who brought up issues of a population control. Maybe these droughts are being manipulated or extended or prolonged so that more people will die on the continent of Africa and we don't have the tremendous population explosion that they're trying to head off, as these population control experts, one worlder type people, are trying to, of course, get in the way of the weather and control it, maybe use it as a weapon. And I'm wondering about all this. What is really happening? Could they be controlling the weather and, well, control, cause a prolonged drought?
Well, I think that what we have to realize is that there are some people who really want to play God, and of course they have tremendous power. They have the ability to utilize these various techniques. I think that the average individual finds it very difficult to believe that anything could be this wicked and evil, and yet when we realize that one child in out of every six in America has a neurodevelopmental abnormality or behavioral abnormality, according to the CDC, one child in six has asthma. This was never like this before. Well, certainly the incidence of juvenile diabetes has tripled, a terrible, terrible, terrible disease. The incidence of cancer and diabetes and pulmonary disease and heart disease is skyrocketing in America. And why are all these things happening? And nobody has any idea, but the government assures us that it's nothing that we're eating or nothing in the vaccines. You can trust us. But can we really trust them? Are there evil and wicked people in the world? And I really believe there are.
Well, it says here in one of these papers I'm reading that one of the members of the Trilateral Commission giving a speech many years ago said that maybe some of this global warming would be beneficial because the northern latitude countries would have increased productivity. If they were manipulating the weather, he was acting like it was just happening by on its own. Maybe they were starving the other countries and bringing about greater productivity to the advanced nations of the world, which are all in the northern latitude. So, you see, we wonder who is controlling the world, and they have such great power, they can control the weather, and they've kept it out of our public's eye for over 30 years. They don't want us to know about it. Why wouldn't they want us to know this? Because it should be used for some good, unless it was being used for evil.
Well, if anybody liked that page out of Baczynski's book back in 1971 or 72, Between Two Ages, you can give us a call. We'll send you that page. And a note down at the bottom says exactly what Bill just quoted about using the weather as a means, but of course concealing, because only very, very few people have to realize that they can use weather as a weapon. I think that's an amazing, amazing quotation, and I appreciate your pointing me to that. I got Baczynski's book out, and it's there just like you said.
Well, it's all of these things have been right in front of us. Of course, there was the president of the World Bank, which is his name is Barbara Conable, who also was a member of the Trilateral Commission. This was in 1989, and he said while higher temperatures may cause a number of natural disasters, they might also cause warm cold, as he said, and in unproductive lands and in the north, productivity. So what he was saying was, he was acting like, of course, it was all accidental, but obviously he had some idea that this was going on. This was 1989, so this was the presentation before the World Bank. So you see these kind of things. This is all in the Washington Post, by the way, and many of these other sources that we're citing here are out in the open. The Soviet weather modification project was called Woodpecker System. This is all well known. And, of course, it's kept from the major public eye.
Bill, is any of this up on your website?
It isn't up on our website. We're going to make a special place because, you know, my website is about health issues, but we're going to make a special place where everybody can read all this in a synopsis report put all together. And to understand, the United States has 300-foot towers in quite a few states around the country that are used for weather control, and we don't even know what it's doing. Now, it's put up there under the guise that these are to transmit radio waves and so on. So
we're just about out of time. Let's get your website out there.
Knowledgeofhealth.com. Knowledgeofhealth.com. Of course, you know, we offer free health information on many health topics. We invite you to visit there. And, of course, we'll soon have a little report up somewhere that will inform you all about this hurricane disaster.
And, of course, you'll have all the documentation on it. So thanks so much for being with us, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
Okay.
Bye-bye and God bless you.
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our guest today was Bill Sardi. Now, if you'd like to get a little bit into chemtrails, we actually have two four-tape sets on chemtrails. We have a four-tape set on HAARP. And, of course, one of the things that's always been suspected was that this high-altitude auroral research project, that's HARP, was all about weather control, because they beam a billion watts of electricity and power up into the ionosphere. It causes the air to rise, and then, of course, this is how you begin, of course, to alter the weather. And, of course, they can reflect it off the ionosphere, down off the chemtrails, and they really are into weather modification. If you'd like a copy of that, on that page from Baczynski's book back in the 70s, talking about weather modification and how, of course, most people, very few people, had to really know about this, understand that we really are dealing with wicked people. If you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get it by itself or with a video and the audio tape for $29.95. But the real thing is, we want you to get it. We want you to copy the video. We want you to copy the audio tape. We want you to get it out far and wide. And we want you to get people educated as to what's really going on about the spiritual battle that is being waged today against, of course, the minds and hearts and souls of the American people. So once you understand that there really are these organizations out there, they operate within the shadows, and of course you can go up on the internet, fortunately, and many of these organizations even have websites. The Theosophists have websites, the Rosicrucians have websites, the Masons have websites, and most Masons don't know anything about Masonry. They've been lied to, and if you read my book, we simply quote from them, telling how they lie to the initiates, they lie to the apprentices, they lie to the people who have taken in. Why? Because they don't want them to know the significance of the oaths they've sworn, asking for the light to come into their lives. And what is the light? It's not the light of Jesus Christ, it's the light of Lucifer. Because there really are people in this world today who worship Lucifer. So once you understand that, once you understand there is a conspiracy against God, you understand why they had to take prayer out of our schools, and why they had to take God out of our schools, and why they had to take the Ten Commandments, out of our courthouses, and we couldn't even post them on the room of a schoolroom, because after all, according to the Supreme Court, if you posted it, the children might read it. And if they read it, they might obey it. And if they were to obey the Ten Commandments, that would be a direct violation of the wall of separation between church and state. This is covered beautifully in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and very well in a book we carry called The Wall of Separation, and a third book entitled Original Intent by David Barton. If you haven't got these, you need to get them. You need to understand what we're really up against. We're up against organized evil, working at the highest levels, not only of our country, but throughout the world today. And when you begin to understand that, you can understand the answer to so many of the questions. So many of the things going on just don't make sense. If you want to understand how they create new diseases to inflict on our people, you need to get the 4-tape set on Lyme disease. If you want to understand what they're doing with mercury in our amalgams, in our vaccines, you need to get the 2 4-tape sets we have on mercury, or you need to get the book Evidence of Harm. If you want to understand water fluoridation and how they're poisoning our children and lowering their IQs, and in areas of China where the water is fluoridated, there are no geniuses, but there are in the adjacent areas. They know what it does. They just don't want you to know the harm they're doing to your children. And the book, the best book on that, is called The Fluoride Deception. They're all available from Radio Liberty. If you want to know who owns the world, who rules the world, the occult hierarchy. We'll be glad to send you a free newsletter, The Occult Hierarchy Part 2. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. Listen to our programs. Pull down our newsletters. Understand we're up against. And then pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.